No. That's who's missing from The Walking Dead.
Jason Statham
needs to walk up on the scene.
I know, right?
And kick and punch. Yeah. He's ready for the zombie apocalypse.
And kick and punch.
Yes. Just start kicking and punching. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Who is that guy? He looks familiar.
Benicio Del Toro.
He's, every time I see him, he looks different. Yeah. I thought that was somebody else. Is he attractive? I can't tell.
Are we recording? He's got one of those faces that can go in and out of the
spectrum.
Light. Yeah. Meaning, some days he can look really attractive, and other days you're like, he looks like Buster Poindexter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other times he can look really attractive.
He also can play any ethnicity.
Yeah,
he shifts. I would take him as anything.
He's a facial shifter.
But here, looking at him from the side, it just looks like a completely different person. I've never seen him in anything that I haven't liked. I'll put it that way. He's a good performer.
He's a very good performer, but he is, today he's the object of Celebrity Shill.
Are you serious?
Yes.
So Celebrity Shill is a segment that we do where we find celebrities who are out there. They need a little extra money, apparently.
Right.
And they're shilling for different corporations or products. So what does Benicio do? He's still working.
He's working, and he was hired by Magnum Ice Cream. And he did this commercial for Magnum Ice Cream, and it was this whole 2.5-minute mini movie with an Angelina Jolie lookalike. Caroline de Souza Carrera.
Okay.
From the Fast and the Furious, basically.
Okay. But she looks like Angelina Jolie looks like now or before she had all that weird work?
The good looking one.
Yeah. Okay. Not the Gollum looking one.
So they're a bank robber duo.
Okay.
And they have to break
naturally
in to get some gold.
Okay.
And they're going through this whole, the machinations of breaking into the thing, and it's very exciting. And
ice cream is there.
Ice cream is there, and they're all, it's the Magnum Gold. It's this gold.
Have you ever had Magnum? It's not cheap. So maybe that's
like
the gold aspect of it.
Yeah. With a sea salt and caramel, and then this gold chocolate
fancy.
Covering it.
Okay.
So they get into the vault, and there's all this unwrapped ice cream. Just
naturally.
Bars. Yeah. And he's like, I can't believe you did this. And she's like, and she's eating the ice cream. They're driving away, and then the cops are following them. They pass a billboard, and they're like, Magnum Gold out tomorrow, basically. So he's like, you couldn't have waited a day? She's like, no, aren't I cute, right?
God.
And so...
Well, at least she's stupid. I mean, that's really the bonus of this. Was this a U.S. commercial?
Yeah, I think it was a U.S. commercial, and everybody trashed him because he sold out.
Well, not only did he sell out, but it seems like the thing was corny. I saw a late night celebrity show. It was, you remember Jenny Garth?
Yeah.
And she was listed as, she was on 90210.
Yeah.
And she did some other things too, but she was just listed as TV's.
Oh, yeah.
Jenny Garth.
Oh, God.
And she's been going around in a bus promoting these like K cups, or Javalia coffee things. And she had a 30 minute infomercial about it. I'm like, what happened, TV's Jenny Garth?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what
happened.
For
her, I get it, but he's still working. Maybe it's drugs.
They were attacking the actor, and the YouTube commentators were attacking the actor.
Well, there's no better critique than an anonymous, angry YouTube comment,
You're just whores and a capitalist gangbang, they said.
That's a big graphic. Whores and a capitalist gangbang?
Because it was such a freaking long commercial for this, and they had the director, Bryan Singer.
Wow, he's a famous director.
I know, so it was like this major thing for this... stupid ice
That's
cream.
That's so basically. Weird. I guess people need to pay the rent, I guess is what I'm thinking.
But apparently Magnum ice cream is made by Unilever,
okay.
Which does a lot of, is a big giant umbrella company, does a lot of cosmetics and a variety
of things. Do they
own
studios as well? Because they may own these people.
Right. But it boosted their sales.
Wow.
Like crazy. And so some people...
Despite drawing the ire of those all important internet commentators.
And so I like to read the comments at the bottom.
I do too.
Muffy 1999 says, this is hysterical. Good for Benicio for having such a great sense of humor. A terrible sense of humor.
A real fan.
And someone else, Skittlebrain 92 says, Benicio Del Toro is the hottest, sexiest, most irresistible person on the planet ever. I love him so much.
He wrote
great.
That.
I was so happy when I first saw it on TV.
Nice. Benicio del Toro wrote that himself. Like, one of his people went on and was like, I can't believe the depth of work that went into creating this thing. I mean, that he does. I mean, he's amazing.
When I saw myself on, when I saw Benicio, wank. And then Lex Igor writes, it is excellent video, very interesting, very strong.
Wow. Yeah, vol. Comrades.
And super Juan Primo.
Really? This is the thing. These people have the nerve to pass judgment on anybody with names like the Super Juan Primo.
Yeah. The ice cream is very, very delicious. And so is Benicio del Toro. He is absolutely breathtaking. I would like to take a bite out of him. Mm-mm, good.
Says nice. Benicio del Toro. And we're the people who put this commercial together. That doesn't sound like real commentary.
Yeah.
Where's the spam?
I know. That's basically all that
Where's
happened,
a diatribe right? against, like, the government?
For one... 100,000 hits on this video. That's like 5 comments, and they're all like, Benicio del Toro is as yummy as ice cream. But he's not an ice cream. Like, I wouldn't associate him with ice cream.
I would associate him with poison. Like, if you were to sell strychnine, or, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
something
right.
sneaky.
Something like
that. Like,
yeah.
a home. Like, he looks like a home
like
invasion.
Dangerous.
Thing. Yeah. Like, do you want this guy dating your daughter? Condoms.
Yeah.
You know, or I don't know, something. But not ice cream. That would be like, who's someone else who couldn't sell me ice cream? Christopher Walken?
No.
Should not be selling gum.
No.
For example.
Even like
No one should sell candy. We've already discussed that. If you're over 18.
It has to be like Zac Efron can sell ice cream. He's the little,
yeah, or maybe like someone who looks like they eat a lot of ice cream, like Patton Oswalt.
There you go.
Or Oswald Patton, whatever
And
that.
He's actually a foodie, so it would be it's a double stamp of approval. No, yes. he appreciates the...
I know he likes to take his top off.
He doesn't like to. He did it, though, because he had to. He doesn't like to. I'll stick up for him.
He really? Because that made me uncomfortable, and he seemed
when
uncomfortable.
When he was in, I think, Jaquetta, you're referring to the movie...
Young Adult
with Charlize Theron.
Yeah, which is an excellent movie.
Yeah. But he had to for it.
It was rough.
Yeah.
And his character did. It wasn't just that he didn't want to do it. His character didn't want to do it. And nobody wanted to see it.
Well, that's the thing. It was... He put it out there. Put it on
He put it on the glass.
As you say.
He put it right on the glass. Ew.
So,
it just
Benicio
was
del Toro, capitalist gangbanger.
Yes.
Or lover
or
of fine chocolate.
Artist, auteur. I like it. So I have a little bit of, I don't know what I would have said. Oh, so my husband sent this in every once in a while. My husband's a criminal lawyer, Greg,
yeah.
And every once in a while he finds something interesting on the legal journal. So this is from the Trusts and Estates in the ABA journal. The ABA is the American Bar Association. And it says, reclusive fan wills estate worth up to $1 million to two 80s era actors he never met.
No.
So this old guy, he was single. He lived alone. He lived in a farmhouse with no running water. His truck was from the 60s, and he had $1 million worth in his estate.
Oh, my
God. So money and
property. Oh, my God. Okay.
He died. And then he gave half of the money to Kevin Brophy. Do you remember the show Lucan Wolf Boy?
Oh, my God. Lucan. Yes.
So Lucan Wolf Boy was a show in the late 70s about a boy who was raised by wolves and then was brought into regular society and they socialized him.
Right.
But it was scary.
By the way, do you remember the call?
No. What was it?
There was a thing where he had whenever he was like, you know, someone was after him or something and he would be running through the woods.
Was he calling for wolves?
He would call out for help. And he would say, "Baya, ba."
Oh, that's right.
Ah.
Lucan Wolf Boy.
Yeah, and we would do that as kids on the street. We would run around, pretend we were Lucan.
And yell, "Baya, ba."
Run through the woods and yell, "Baya, ba." See who would come to
help us. That is awesome. So Kevin Brophy got half of it. And then Peter Barton, who played Dr. Scott Granger on The Young and the Restless, and also got half of it. And, well, a little bit less because the guy gave $5,000 to the Anti-Cruelty Society in Chicago.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. But both actors were in Hell Night, the 1981 Linda Blair movie.
No.
That's the only thing they had together. He'd never met these guys. These guys had never met him. So when the letter was sent, Peter Barton didn't believe it. He thought it was a scam.
Okay.
He actually went and met with the lawyer and
He's
went
like,
to the guy's
This is
estate.
A Nigerian, isn't it?
Yes. He thought it was a scam. But in the will that was drawn up by the lawyer and the deceased, the lawyer said he found some letters that were written, that his client had written letters to the two actors, and the actors had responded saying thanks for writing. And based on that, he felt like they were his friends and they were nice people. And he left them each about $500,000. How? Be nice to your fans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These guys didn't
if
know
If anyone
him.
Wants to put Jaquetta and I in their will.
Yes.
That's fine
feel
with
free
us.
To do so. We always write people back.
We do.
Not because we're hoping to get your estate. But how
we
crazy
do,
is
even
that?
Though it takes us a little while. We do.
Yeah, we try to get back to everybody. So yeah, he died and he left. He said, I feel that these people are my friends.
Wow.
And that's it. And he left them money. It's a nice little
that's really nice.
Chunk of change for two guys who probably, I mean, I don't know how they're doing, but they haven't worked in a long time.
I hope that they really use it for something very good. Like, they do something else with it. They take like a little bit of it and they pay it forward. That would be a nice story.
I don't know. I think Kevin Brophy hasn't done anything since 1977 from Lou Can Whoop Boy. He's probably going to have a little party with that.
I'm sure. I'm
paying
sure
off bills,
might.
I think, might be
pay
in,
off
the,
his
in
visa.
The future. Yeah, pay off his visa. You got child support,
that's
anything
people
like that.
People win the lottery. What are you going to do with your money? I'm gonna pay off my visa. It's like, come on.
Yeah. And yeah. When you're done with that.
Yeah.
So how cool is that?
That's awesome.
I think it's
nice.
Thank
you,
Greg. So that's just like, yeah, reclusive fan, give someone, random 80s era actor, $1 million. Oh, you wow. Never met them. So yeah, we'll always respond to fans. And enemies.
Anyone, yeah. Really.
And feel free to, you know, don't go intestate. If you're thinking about going intestate, don't put us in your will.
Even as a placeholder.
Yeah.
Until you can figure out who you really want to.
Instead of leaving it blank, just put Katie and Jaquetta from Hey You Know.
That's it.
Specifically.
Yeah.
So I like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a show about you.
Yep. A whole show.
That's a new segment. Leave us in your will.
Leave us in your will and we'll give you a segment.
Yeah. No, they get a whole show on that.
Five-star we'll review and a will. Yeah. You got to mention. We'll read the will and comment on it.
Yeah.
So what do you have?
Here's an article that I found by Ian Kerner, a sexuality counselor and New York Times bestselling author.
Okay.
Called Good, and he has a website called Good in Bed. Now,
.com.
Ages ago, in one of our earlier episodes, I talked about his an article where he said women who make over 75,000 are more likely to cheat than if you make under 75,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so he's back, and he has an article called "Sexonomics: Putting Your Erotic Capital to Work."
That is the least sexy thing I've ever heard. Sexonomics. Sexonomics. Okay, so putting your sexy capital or erotic capital.
Erotic capital to work. And there's a picture of him again.
What's the return on that erotic capital?
It's like.
Oh, God. It's a lot of forehead. He's cut off the top of his head. Probably because he's balding. He thought, just stop it there.
He's like, I'll let them wonder. Keep them guessing about
We know. There's not even bangs up there.
No.
It just goes away. It's like a 6 or 7 head. Goes way up. So
he looks a little like Stuart French, and Stuart French is better looking than him.
Yes.
That's what I've got to say.
And he's not cropped.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it says Madonna's got it. So did George Clooney, Tina Turner, and Robert Redford.
Okay.
And why are you doing talking about Robert Redford?
Yeah. Tina Turner's more than that, by the way.
Yeah. These celebrities are certainly good looking, but they also possess what sociologist Catherine Hakeem has dubbed erotic capital.
Okay.
A term that describes a certain je ne sais quoi that includes, but isn't limited to, sexual attractiveness. Okay, so here's the definition of erotic capital. So listeners, listen
close. If you
didn't
know, because I don't.
All right. It's more than just good looks, and it has 6 main facets.
Okay.
Beauty.
Okay. But more than just looks, but beauty is number one.
Because we have a different looks.
Yeah, the big difference. The B. 2 syllables. Number one is beauty.
All right. Number 2, sexual attractiveness. So someone's got to want to
be with you.
Yeah.
Okay. That helps. Yeah. Because you're not going to be able to do much if you're not sexually attractive or beautiful.
Right. Social skills / likability. I think those are 2 different things.
Yeah. And I don't know if that, I mean,
and they don't.
Good looking people often are assholes because of it.
Yeah. So you need social skills so you know how to.
Step over people.
Right.
You know how to
but you have to be likable, too. And that's its own
thing. Yeah, that's its own thing.
Liveliness. No, you don't.
Liveliness?
Liveliness.
What do you mean by that? What do they mean by that?
I guess a little pep in your step, I would imagine.
Like
or something
up?
That a little more an animated individual. You know, not like just somebody that has like a flat affect and doesn't know how to
put it about.
Yeah. Style. No, you don't have to have style.
Not if you're good looking.
And then the last one is sexual competence.
Okay.
While one of these characteristics might make you gorgeous or fun or funny, you need the whole group to maximize erotic capital.
Wait, what was... Read the last one again.
Sexual competence.
How was anyone supposed to know that? Surely everyone brags about, especially guys, brag about what they can do.
Right.
Who, unless you have someone who's who can rate that person or several people. It's all hearsay.
All right. So erotic capital has to be cultivated and learned. It has a lot to do with your self-esteem.
Okay.
So why did they put self-esteem in there?
I don't know. Because there was no room.
Because they had seven things and they were like, we've got to keep it to six. So
they
gonna...
should have kept it to four, personally. More than after four things, no one cares anymore. So what can
but
I, okay.
No, but even if you have it, you might not be capitalizing on it.
I was going to say, how, what can I do? Part. How can I use it?
All right. It says women have more erotic capital than men do, and they should be exploiting it more as a result.
But look where it's gotten this.
But what does he say? Oh, you know, women have it more. Like,
it's got to go both ways, right?
What study?
Yes. He's just saying that. He, this guy wrote a best-selling book.
Oh, God. It says... Women don't exploit it as much because men have stronger libidos, they're saying. I'm like...
Really?
I don't know.
This all seems like hearsay and conjecture from where I'm sitting.
Okay. Men's demand for sexual activity and erotic entertainment, all kinds of great... Of all kinds, greatly exceed women's interest in sex.
I disagree with that. I just think there's less for women to look at.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say that it's in general. And I hear a lot of people say this in New York. I hear a lot of guys say that the women are much more attractive than the men in general.
In New York?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't speak for other areas, but that the women maybe are taking more time and effort on their looks.
Absolutely.
But
yeah, it is, it
if
is the
guys aren't looking that great, area. Why should you kill yourself to look fabulous?
Because you have to. Because in this area, I mean, you have to have your eyebrows done, your nails done.
But I think
your
you're doing
done.
That more for yourself and for other women.
And you've got to, you know? To make money doing that. Like, you can't show up to work looking like.
But it's not for necessarily to attract guys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's a different kind of. That's more about being together, right? That's less about your erotic capital and more about just having a total package.
Yeah. Okay, so they're talking about libido, and then they're like, so women have a libido too, as.
And if the, you can find it, huh?
As the recent frenzy for the erotic trilogy, 50 Shades of Grey, makes clear, they have women have a voracious appetite for sexual entertainment.
So
because they read a book?
Yes.
As opposed to what men go for, which are porn stars, strippers, celebrity sex tapes, you know.
I don't know about that. I know a lot of women who use pornography.
Yeah, you know, but they're not going to say it. Like,
no, they're going to sit around and talk about
no,
it.
No.
You know.
Like, there's in plenty, everywhere you see, like, guys talk about it.
Yeah. And guess all those vibrators in the adult stores, those aren't for dudes. The pink and the purple ones and all that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, those are for women, I'm assuming. Half of the stuff in those shops is for women.
All right. And so now, erotic capital. Why are women not capitalizing
this on guy it? Just wants to see more TNA. He's telling us that we need to flaunt more of our capital. So
right.
Ostensibly, so he can look at it, right? It's not for me and you.
Right. So it's like, they also blame feminists for neglecting an opportunity to exploit female erotic capital.
Mm-hmm. Probably because feminists were sick of other people exploiting it.
Yeah, they because it's a choice between using your looks or your intelligence to succeed.
Oh, this is terrible. I'm so sad that this guy wrote a book and that people put it on the bestsellers list.
Yeah.
So he's blamed so basically feminists are ugly, is what this guy is saying.
Because you have to make a choice. You can't use both.
You can't use both. What if you don't have either? What if you're stupid and ugly? What then? You just hurl yourself at people? Try to get pity? This is ridiculous.
Stupid and ugly.
Yeah. Come on, just because you're unattractive and not so bright doesn't mean you're doomed. Look around, people. Look in your office.
No, you just gotta, I think then you have to be more, it's just straightforward. You have to just put it right out there. Like,
yeah, this is it.
Guess what?
This
guess
is
what
it.
I can do for you.
Yeah, background work.
Men now find it necessary to develop their own erotic capital as well. Oh, God.
Oh, God. That's the last thing I need is a bunch of more guys out there with erotic capital to throw around.
Yeah. They're devoting more time and money to their appearance, work out in gyms to maintain an attractive body, spend more on fashionable clothes and toiletries, and display more varied hairstyles.
Because in the past, they just came off the, they just came out of the machine.
With one.
With one haircut.
One haircut, the Ken plastic.
Yeah. And that's it. Or just the, you know, bald on top with the same, the rest is the Ken.
Perhaps they've realized that a little erotic capital never hurt anyone. And if the success of the hit male stripper film Magic Mike is any indication, women are happy to share the power. So it's like,
women went to that movie to see Hangin' Dong, not to really engage in any kind of sexual economic marketplace. They went to see
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum and Matthew McConaughey hang.
Right.
Hang Chung.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Erotic capital.
That sounds terrible.
Somebody just came, put those two words together and were like, I need to get it out there.
Was it sexonomics?
Sexonomics.
That's terrible. Was this the, is this the New York Times? I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
It's terrible.
I don't like it at all.
So, boo Ian Kerner.
Hey, you know it, listeners. We are thrilled today to have the lovely Marcy Currier. She is a tarot card reader, an intuitive consultant, an energy healer, and she's going to be doing some readings for us. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me. I was thinking that listeners might want some guidance or advice around dealing with this.
Okay, so how to beat the winter doldrums.
You know, we try lots of things, and some of us succeed to greater or lesser degrees.
I do Bikram, that helps.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, I can't do. I'm already Vata.
Oh, really? Okay, so you don't need it.
And I just get
you're already Bikram.
Yeah. I like sarcasm throughout the winter. So how to get out of these doldrums?
Yeah, just some advice for dealing with this time of year. I'll tell you, it is my least favorite time of year. It's the time of year that the voice in my head that goes, what's the point? What's the point again? What's the point of all of this?
I thought of the season of bad and ill-fated booty.
Because it's cold. You're
cold.
Lonely.
Whoever's closest to you, and then you end up hooking with that person, and then it just goes
your
wrong.
By geography are really limited. Yeah. By
what can we get? Anything. That's you guys.
And college.
And college.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. Other than the, so, in order to avoid bad hookups.
Mm-hmm. Bad. Oh yes.
Yeah. Everybody wants to know how to do that.
Staying with the love thing.
Aside from bad hookups, what do the cards have to say about dealing with weather? With more than three shuffles. And we've got the Ten of Wands, which shows a man carrying a heavy burden of sticks. The wands are sticks. And a couple things here. One is, you know what? You just have to get through it. You just have to do it. So maintain.
Keep
the
on
things that, and I think that's what helps me is like, well, I still have a son, I still have clients, I still have things to do.
Yeah, it's
and
just
as
cold.
Long as I just do them, I'm, you know.
Yeah, just like Ernest Shackleton in The Endeavor when he was exploring the.
He died.
He survived. I mean, he died eventually, but he survived and his crew in the cold.
I thought they froze to death.
No. Oh.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
All of them?
No, they all made it. That was why.
All did make it.
maybe another subsequent trip. But
to Antarctica.
But they got stuck in the ice, and they dealt with it, and then they had to do all kinds of things.
You slog through. And,
slog through.
Shackleton style.
The other thing that's kind of cool about this card, the wands are the element of fire. So there's this thing about keeping your, if you keep fogging away, you're keeping your fires burning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this often very much has to do with staying creative, staying on a creative track.
That's hard
and
to
just
do.
Keep your juices running. And even though it's hard, and even though you might not feel as motivated, you might not feel as inspired, this is where you like dig in and you keep going through the hard part.
Okay.
Even though it's maybe not as fun. Another little thing with the Ten of Wands is, you know, he's carrying these big sticks. And very often I see is when this card comes up, it's like you have a decision. Are you going to use these to build your shelter? Or are you going to burn them for warmth? And which one do you want to do? And both of them seem appropriate for winter. So do you hunker down or do you keep yourself sustained?
I probably build the house, accidentally set it on fire. I got both.
Yeah, build a little house and burn some.
Build a very small house.
A teepee.
Play both sides. Yeah. I have a question. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, certainly.
Card? There are some shoots, some leaves coming out of these wands.
Yes.
Is that helpful?
Absolutely. It's the reminder that although these wands are, you know, here and they've been chopped down, they still contain life force.
Okay.
And there are still new leaves burgeoning forth.
From your house.
from your little house.
My tiny house, yeah.
And your very smoky fire, apparently, because it's green wood.
So, yeah, just a reminder that winter is not forever, and you'll get through it. And if the more that you can have plans, goals, actions to take, the more, I mean, honestly, the more quickly it goes.
Yeah, so get out your macrame beads.
Yeah.
Do it.
Get out your oils.
Was it the 70s?
So, Marcy, thank you very much.
Yeah,
we're
thanks
so
for
happy
coming.
To have you here.
It was awesome. Another wonderful reading.
Yeah. I love doing readings for you guys.
Marcy, where can people reach you?
Best thing to do is send me an email, Marcy, M-A-R-C-Y, at metamarcy.com. Check out my website, metamarcy.com. Twitter, metamarcy21. Facebook.com/metamarcy21.
Wow.
Tumblr, metamarcy.tumblr.com.
Fantastic.
So I've been branding myself on the internet. Just
I
Google
like it.
Metamarcy and you'll find me.
You have to. Because, and if something new comes up, you will jump on that too.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So I have some Jason Bateman news. Can you believe it?
What?
Yes.
Okay, this is The Week in Jason Bateman. Now, Jason Bateman is an actor that we...
we respect.
He's decent.
Yeah, we find him decent. And we'd like to report on him.
Yeah, and we're not in love with him, and we're not sexually attracted
to
him.
And his movie right now is number 2.
Very good.
It got knocked out by, I don't know what's the number one
what movie
now.
Is that, Jaquetta?
Identity Theft. Oh. Is Identity Thief? Something that, with identity something.
That we've been talking about for a year. It's 2 words, and we still can't get it right. What?
Identity
Theft.
Thief. Or theft. It'll probably come up in this article. So I found this on the internet. It's about Jason Bateman and Arrested Development 4.
Oh.
So Arrested Development 4, the series, is supposed to be coming out in May.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be 14 episodes. And they asked him to give some quotes about it.
Okay.
And tell me how this sounds to you, because I was confused.
All right.
Jason Bateman says, "We're done shooting it and it was great." And that's in italics for some reason. The great part.
it was
great.
Or it was great.
It was great. Yeah. Also, it will be extremely complicated for the viewers. 14 episodes, all separate, with each character getting their own episode, but the action happens simultaneously.
What?
Wait till I finish, because it gets even better.
Okay.
So you can stop my episode at the very moment that, say, Joe rides by on his Segway, and then click into his episode and follow him.
What? Oh, okay.
Why?
So instead of just like if you're hanging out at a party,
show?
If you're hanging out at a party and you're talking to someone and you're like, I need to get out of this conversation, and someone walks by, you just go and follow them and be like, oh, you're going to get a beer? I want a beer
this
too.
Is like Robert Altman style?
Yes.
But now I have to click on something.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it. It sounds very strange and complicated.
It does sound complicated, but I think I'm going to go.
I'm going to have no choice but to watch it because I like Arrested Development. It said, and here's another catch. The series is the, he said it's only the first third of a 3-part story. Acts 2 and 3 are in the movie that they're supposedly going to make.
Oh, no.
So season 4 is act 1
oh.
of the Arrested, exactly. Now you're not so excited.
Okay.
Of the Arrested Development movie. Just give me beginning, middle,
and end,
people.
Are they going to give out flow charts?
That's what
to
I'm
go
saying.
With this?
You were with it before.
Now
but
I'm
now you've lost
too
it.
Much work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Jason Bateman.
Yeah, what's...
What are you doing?
This is the word... This is actually a spoiler for me in that I don't know how excited I am anymore about this piece.
Whatever happened to the day where you just sat back and watched something?
Yeah. I don't want to have to be clicking on anything.
Yeah.
By the way, the reviews from the Identity Thief or a Theft are terrible. They're saying even Jason Bateman couldn't save this one.
Really?
Yeah. They're saying
Melissa
he's working
McCarthy?
Hard. They're both working very hard, but I think the script is working right against them.
Oh, no.
Absolutely terrible.
Aww,
so that's Jason Bateman is giving us the inside scoop on Arrested Development. That's going to be coming out, like I said, in May. So, and it's Identity Thief, by the way. It's Identity Thief.
Because it's a person. It's
yeah.
not
I kind of want to see it, but I kind of want to just wait till it's on Netflix. And that's our week in Bateman.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, some actual news. A quote, even. He wasn't just in his shorts walking around at a mall with
oh,
his kids.
Really? That's
he actually
amazing.
Said something.
Oh, God.
The article, though, starts off with it being about Franklin, the racist
that's
puppet
amazing.
That's on Arrested Development. And then it devolves into Jason Bateman. So that's not even the hook.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not easy being white.
Oh, right.
It's not easy being brown. You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be. Okay, so what do you got?
This is really quick.
Okay.
Tina Turner is becoming a Swiss citizen.
Why? Yeah. Is it the taxes? Go, Tina.
She's been living there. I didn't know this.
Openly.
For 2 decades.
I had no idea.
Right, and she's becoming
a citizen.
Did
Diana Ross do something weird like that?
I don't know. I don't like Scandinavia. Diana Ross does a lot of strange things. But
yeah, she does.
She said, I'm very happy in Switzerland, and I feel at home here.
Simply the best.
She's just, I was like, I felt I had like an emotional reaction to that. Well, why is she going?
She's a part of our culture. You know, we like Tina Turner. Tina Turner's awesome.
She's 73, and I'm just like, I'm never going to see her again if she does that. But she's been there for 20 years.
Switzerland is probably like, ha ha. That's awesome. Tina Turner's amazing.
Yeah.
So she's out, huh? Bounce. Gone. Yeah. Wow. Madonna, I didn't mind so much. Go. Go, Madonna.
Yeah, she's giving up her pass. Like, bye. She's not even doing a dual citizenship. She's just going.
She's just done?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's Switzerland, right? If you're Swiss, you can come and go here as you please. They just started having to use passports like a couple decades ago. They used to be able to come and go just with, they have everyone's money.
Well, yeah, that's true. So,
and you know where they are. You know where they're going to be.
Yeah.
So, Tina Turner, no.
Yeah.
Well, I've got something even more disturbing.
Wait, where did Madonna go?
England.
Oh.
Remember she got a fake accent like a lot of people do? And then I think she just went on over there. So this article, this is for Unpopular Science and Technology.
Oh, okay.
This is a segment where we find out things about the coming robo-apocalypse and all the hysteria around it. Usually Katie and I are the ones that are hysterical, but I actually found an article in which a scientist is leery.
And that's key. Scary. That's when the scientists start getting nervous.
So this was at the American Association for the Advancement of Science meeting.
All right.
And there's a woman called Sherry Turkle, and she's a professor of social studies and science and technology. That's a lot. At MIT. And she's talking about human-robot relations, why we should get worried about them.
Okay.
So basically the crux of the article is that people are getting more and more used to having robots around, and they're starting to prefer robots to people. Which I'm not surprised, because a lot of people are assholes.
Right. That's true. And it's not going to take the same amount of work to deal with it.
She said in the 80s and 90s, when she would do studies, the subjects of the studies would say that love and friendship are connections that can only occur between humans. Now people often say that a robot could be up in the mix. Up in the mix is obviously my phraseology of that.
Like,
you know where her part stops and mine begins. So first of all, they're talking about having robots take care of the elderly because they can be programmed for MS patients. They would never be abusive, inept, or dishonest. But the other side to that is that young people won't ever know how to deal with older people.
Yeah.
And we're going to be like Logan's Run, where your palm is going to start flashing and then the party's over.
And not only that, I mean,
what's wrong with old people?
Everyone has to learn how to deal with people of all ages.
But are old people that bad?
No, but I mean, I'm thinking of my friends. My friends span a good 25 years.
Yeah.
In both directions.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, a lot of people...
No, I don't have any underage friends that I hang out with. That's an invitation for Chris Hansen to come over.
Yes. But, I mean, you should... I remember being younger and having, in my 20s and having friends that were 40 years old. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, if you're just running with your own circle, you have no idea what's going on. So she said it's not just that older people are supposed to be talking.
Yeah.
It's that younger people are going to be listening. They should be listening to what their grandparents had to say. Now, I said grandma and grandpa are going to be telling all their stories to a robot, and it's just running out the side.
Aww.
Like, all that stuff is missing. So he said, even scarier, children, in turn, are playing more and more with robots and electronic toys. So she talks about the Tamagotchis. You remember those little, they're like the size of a keychain fob,
mm-hmm.
a key fob, and it was like a little fake dog.
Okay.
And you used to have to, pretend to feed it and do those kind of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I remember thinking those were idiotic.
Yeah.
But apparently it's been helping to train children on nurturing. But it's backfired because now children prefer a mechanical dog to a real dog.
Oh, no.
Because a mechanical dog doesn't die, doesn't shit on the floor, doesn't need to be trained.
Yeah.
But provides all of the... So it only provides a service for you. You don't have to do anything for it.
This is the thing. I think it's all that unexpected ugly that people are eliminating with technology.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking about horse and carriage rides in Central Park and some,
And I was like, oh, the price.
Yeah, the price.
Because Katie's rolling deep with cash, people.
Right.
She's going to take a ride around the park.
But it would be good for the nieces and nephews to see what it was like for people, to how they got around, basically.
And carriage. Yeah, I never really thought about that before.
But they do, and someone was like, well, horses stink. You know, and I'm like, yeah, I know they.
Yeah, they. I don't think they stink. I think they smell like horses.
They smell like horses, and then and then they do their business, and but then it's like,
was this person insinuating that all of New York City doesn't stink? Are you kidding me? Like, if the worst thing I smell in my day in New York City is horse shit, I've had a good day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like, yeah, but the thing is, now with the cars, you don't have horse shit basically. So now, like,
or exhaust anymore, really, or sounds. That's interesting. So yeah, I'm for. That's a good idea. Yeah. They need to see animals. I take that for granted, having grown up in the country. And having Katie and I having enjoyed the last millennium.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they also asked in the past, for young people, who would you go to for romantic advice? And they would always say, like, for a young man, they would say, I'd go to my dad. Now they're saying they'd rather go to a robot because a robot could be programmed with a lot more input than a dad could have. No, and they think the advice is going
to
be better.
First of all, you never go to your parent.
Robot advice on advice. That's where I see this going. You're getting a robot advice now?
Yeah. How could they get that?
Over.
You get facts from a robot.
Like, I might not have gone to, well, I never would have gone to my parents for romantic advice.
I mean, I'd go to a robot rather than my parents for romantic advice.
But how about like another human being who's not your parent? I mean, there's other options out there.
Go to the auntie.
Yeah, somebody who, the loose aunt. Yeah. That's always good.
That's me.
The loose aunt. I don't have nieces and nephews, but if you need a loose aunt, I'm the one.
Yeah.
So in her interviews with people from many different backgrounds, she said that now people are starting to fantasize that robots would be their friend, whereas in the past they were freaked out like we were.
Yeah.
When we grew up, robots were going to kill us. They were going to be our dark robotic overlords. Right. Now people are like,
you know what?
It's better than Fran.
Because I can pick what kind of person it's
exactly.
Gonna be.
A robot never gets angry. A robot never gets up. So her thing, she says that we're at a robotic moment, which sounds like a senior moment.
Yeah.
It's a robotic moment. It's a robotic moment because we have built robots worthy of our company. But are we ready for this?
No, nobody's ready for it. I think that humanity has not caught up to technology in any way, shape, or form.
No.
And it's not ready.
Well, I don't think we're ready at all. And she also says, you know, will people be able to, you know, deal with these robots when they want to, when they don't want to? I can't even turn off my damn phone. I haven't had a phone that long. I never turn it off. Do you ever turn off your phone?
No.
I check it all the time.
What's going to happen? Like with the people programming the robots, and they're jealous that, like, they can't even, like, afford this robot friend.
Yeah. I mean, look, as long as it's not wearing a hat. Because that offends me. And as long as it's not going to talk back to me. But this is creepy to me.
Yeah.
You know, this whole, we're in the robotic moment.
Yeah.
I don't know, weird, huh?
Yes.
And even at least one scientist is concerned about it. So that's alarming to us.
Yeah.
Usually it's just us being Luddites.
Well, I mean, this is almost, you know, we're getting to the Terminator years where they're going to become self-aware. And we just made an army of self-aware robots.
That's what we grew up with, but kids now are seeing fun robot cartoon things.
Okay.
Even when we were little kids, even in a funny cartoon, the robot was like, kill all humans.
Yeah.
Like, even when it was like a gentle robot, at the back of its mind, its little robotic mind was, kill all humans.
But it was so slow that it was hilarious.
But now, not so much.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you want a robot friend? I would smash it.
No.
And I'd probably get put in jail for that.
I know what I'd get one to see if I can alienate that robot friend, too.
I come into your house, it's just a sad robot looking down at its feet. Then no one talks to me anymore. I'm not even allowed to look at the blender.
You're annoying. Yes. You're not listening
just
to me.
Just to beat it down into the ground. We'd be, like, in jail for that in the future, for mistreating robots. I told my robot she was unattractive and had bad breath. Now look at her. A robotic moment.
Oh, God. You're not making sense, robot.
When I get old, if somebody tries to put a robot near me, I will strike out like nobody's business with my cane.
You might not even know.
That's even worse. Why would you say that?
You might not even know it's a robot, really.
Now when we get old, I'm going to have to poke you just to make sure it's still you.
You're a robot.
That's be like, she hit me. I had to know if it was her. Like, robots don't feel pain.
Yeah.
Katie does. She particularly doesn't like to be poked in the face.
Jaquetta, I'm not a robot.
Just making sure. Sorry about your nose.
I'm older than you, but yet you're the one in the bed. Yes. I'm the one visiting you.
I had a rough life. Things went south in 2024. Oh, is this a tale from the campfire?
This is Tales from the Campfire.
Nice.
Yes. Okay.
My favorite segment. So Tales from the Campfire is an urban or legend or a country legend that Katie has dug up, and she's going to give us a spooky retelling of it as we all sit around their electronic campfire.
All right. Gather around, everyone.
Oh, that's right.
It's Tales from the Campfire. Yeah.
I would not come over if I heard that. That's like in the park where there's like a weird marionette. You're like, kids, don't go over there. Gather around for your death. Right. For doom.
Right. This one is called The Scary Room.
Okay.
All right.
Was this a film with Jodie Foster? Did you see
Panic
that?
Panic Room.
Oh, okay. Close. She was scared.
It was, all right.
In the suburbs?
Well, it wasn't a scary room. It's just a panic room.
I think I saw a different film.
All right.
It was an asylum film.
So here it goes.
Okay.
My dad was dating a woman. Let's call her Anne.
Really? Just say my dad's girlfriend Anne.
It doesn't care. Nobody's fact-checking this.
Let's call her.
I've fact-checked all my Magdalena. Tales from the campfire, yeah. By the way.
These urban legends.
Okay. In Rochester, New York there, by
That's
the way.
Creepy.
And that's specific.
Yeah.
She lived in an old farmhouse. I don't even know where to begin with this place.
Please
Let's
do.
Bullet point it.
Okay.
One. The basement looks like the basement in Stir of Echoes. Most of it was cement, except for the scary room. That's in quotes.
Okay.
Which was a mound of dirt and sand. Ew.
Huh?
Weird and scary things would result if anything happened in that room, like having to run wires through it.
Okay.
I don't know why you're doing that. Anne placed a chest-high piece of wood in the doorframe to keep her animals from getting in there.
I am so confused as to the layout of this.
All right.
Winchester Mystery House.
Yeah, basically, right?
Like,
I guess it was several rooms down in the basement, and that one was
And then one
super
room
unfinished.
That had a mound of dirt.
Yeah, instead of them finishing the floor with cement, they were like, F it.
Okay. But yeah.
Just earth.
Natural. You know, when you're pouring concrete, sometimes you just don't want to go no more. You don't care.
Just put a door frame there.
Yeah, they'll never know. Homeowners won't know.
All right. So it's worth noting that while her cat would go into the basement, her extremely...
Well, there's a pile of sand in there.
Yeah, right.
So if I were a cat, I'm like, sweet. It's a lifetime supply. Awesome.
Right? That's probably why it was a scary room. It's
when I lived in Hungary, we had a cat and there was a construction site nearby. And at night, with a bucket, I was like, I'll go over there get some fresh kitty litter.
Right.
Everyone was doing it. By the end, there was nothing there.
Good.
Yeah. Don't leave your dirt out.
Yeah. Her extremely loyal dog could not be made to go down the steps. That's when you know something's wrong. Anyway, Anne kept her cat's food dish on the top step of the basement.
Why?
Living dangerously.
Yeah,
this
woman hates a cat. The cat's like, F you.
One day, I guess it's like some kind of animosity between them. I'm going to, shit in the scary room.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my food on the top step.
Yeah.
All right. One day, she noticed a few pieces of the cat's food laying a couple of steps down from the dish.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking nothing of it, she let it be. The next day, the food had moved down a step in the exact same pattern. Next day, the same thing. And again, the food disappeared. It was like, then the cat ate it.
I'm liking this cat. The cat's messing with her.
Anne tried not to go into the basement as a matter of course, but soon thereafter had to do the laundry. How long did she let her laundry go?
I don't know. Until she was just down the thongs.
She saw the cat food in the same pattern in the scary room.
What was the pattern?
Well, they didn't even say it. Just in this pattern on each step.
Oh, I wish they'd spell that. Like, bitch, I'm hungry. Time to change the litter in the scary room.
Okay, here's another bullet point. Before my dad lived with her, she had a nightly routine. She would get in bed and read and then would turn on the TV, which was across from the bed, and
what
fall
a
asleep.
Bitch. This is her routine. Okay. She's living on the
life,
edge.
Yeah. Her dog would lie on the floor by her side. One night, she was reading and her dog jumped up and started barking at the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Since the dog was generally hyper, she thought nothing of it. She never thinks anything of anything until it really, like, someone so hits her over her head.
Someone's making a satanic pattern with some cat chow.
Yeah.
That's okay. Now her dog is acting
nothing
weird.
Of it.
That's okay, yeah. Happy as Larry.
When the barking persisted, she looked at the TV. The TV was off, but there were black and white images on the screen. They kept changing every minute or so.
Mm-hmm.
A church, a skull, etc. You know how the progression is.
A foot. Meow mix. Whatever. Goatman. What? I mean...
While she had experienced many scary things in the house, this freaked her out badly. She called my dad, panicking, and asked what to do. He said, take pictures.
Oh, my God. I have to say, this is a cultural thing. Do the white people in these stories, they have a death wish. Black people would have been moved already. First of all, my fucking basement's not finished. I'm not going in here. There's a pile of dirt in there. Now someone's fucking around with my kitty chow.
And now this thing. So she did, and she did take pictures, and this person goes on to say, I've seen them. That TV was most definitely off, and they're the most definitely images on it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You can bet that when I stayed in their guest room for Thanksgiving visit, I made sure the TV across from my bed was unplugged.
Oh, because that's going to save you.
The lights stayed on, and a blanket was over my head the whole night. Really great way to protect yourself. Yes.
We've talked about this before. How about taking up a position with some weaponry? A cross, whatever you believe in, you know? Some holy water.
I know, right? The third thing, Anne had a ghost travel with her to visit my dad one time. While it wasn't mean-spirited or anything, it was creepy. But they didn't say what the ghost did.
This is terrible.
And then the fourth
part... This is like the legend of a legend. This is a ghost of a legend. Yeah. It's a ghost of a story.
Then the last thing was, I asked my dad what the scariest thing was that happened to him while living at the house. And he said that one day he was making a sandwich in the kitchen.
Ooh, the haunted salami.
Which adjoined the basement stairs, by the way. He felt something hit his back and then heard it drop to the floor. Mm-hmm. It was a penny. Weird, he thought. Thought nothing of it, right?
What?
He started walking into the living room and something hit his back again. Mm-hmm. Same penny.
The same penny?
Yeah, not cool, ghost.
Yeah, not cool. Not cool at all.
And that's the end.
And it says, and then there's a picture of a house that says, beware.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, I don't have any, I don't believe in anything. I'm not sure we're here. Yeah. You know what I mean? But if I were to see something right now in this, hey, you know, studio, if a skull appeared, I'm out.
Right.
You'd be looking around. You would just see a trail, like in Warner Brothers cartoons, you'd be a puff of smoke.
And I hate that when you say that, and then I start looking around, I'm like, please don't let something happen.
I know what will happen. It'll be me running. Like, I don't have any tolerance for that kind of stuff. Whenever people, like, put the covers over my head, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I was scared, you know, of, like, because we lived out in the woods. You know, you're a little kid, you're scared. They're like, oh, do you hide under the covers? I'm like, hell no, I'm taking up a position in the corner.
Right, right.
I want to see it coming.
Right.
Well, if I have the covers over my head, that's like an invitation.
That's like, yeah.
Come in and kill me.
Right.
Gigantic Papa Smurf or whatever I was afraid of.
Right.
That doesn't even make any sense.
I was afraid of vampires. But now I find them sexy.
Yeah. Well, they dress better now.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they, you know, they were up to no good. But now they are suave.
They look like they were sneezing into their arms.
Yeah, they run GQ now. they're a different kind of, they're all different kind of situation than this. So I have something here
that
made me upset.
Oh.
This was in the Wall Street Journal. It says, couple won't face charges for adopting Danny the deer.
What?
So apparently... criminal charges were dismissed against an Indiana couple who gained national attention. Now, I never heard of these people.
Uh-uh.
Because after being prosecuted for taking in an injured baby deer.
Oh.
So they were charged with...
what?
And this is...
being nice?
A misdemeanor of illegal possession of a white-tailed deer. Specifically. They had the deer on their farm for 2 years. They were nursing it back to health. The state conservation officers found out about it and were coming to kill the deer.
Why?
Because they said that the deer was harmed because it had come in contact with people. Let me tell you.
It wouldn't be able to take care of itself in the wilderness?
Really?
Because it smelled like humans?
Really? I mean, where I'm from in Maryland, it's impossible not to come in contact with deer. They're not freaked out by people.
No.
These are not like creatures in like, you know, the Amazon somewhere who have never seen people. These are deer come up and down the Taconic Parkway.
Yeah.
There was a deer in the parking lot at Target. They don't care.
Yeah.
They've seen people. So luckily for the deer... when the cops showed up to put it down, it had somehow escaped.
I can't believe they were going to put it down.
It had escaped, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Could have bust out of here.
And the couple said they think they might have seen the deer hanging out with other deer later on, so they're happy it's okay. They clearly let the thing out.
Absolutely.
But it's like, really? So the punishment, so these people found the deer that was injured. They took it in, which I don't really have a problem with. They were raising it. They live on a farm. And then the cops find out, and they're going to kill the deer. That's their... And what was the deer going to do?
That's like a horrible story.
The deer is going to go back into the wild and be like, dude,
listen,
you know, we don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah. They'll take you in now.
Yeah. Just to
kill the deer?
Just like kind of limp with your right hoof a little bit. They'll take you in.
Kind of life of torture back in the woods would it have? Because it's...
Well, I don't know. Ask the people from the Department of Natural Resources, which is ironic, because this is how they handle this. They were going to shoot a deer. There's nothing wrong with it. Wild animals, like, it's not like it's like a monkey or something, and it grew up in Hollywood. Now they're taking it back to Africa. Like, it's not. It's just a local deer. I didn't know that's a misdemeanor, harboring a deer.
Ugh, it's terrible.
A deer got loose in the Target parking lot. They didn't know what to do. They tried to pen it in with pieces of plywood. The thing was going crazy.
Right.
Then they return it to the wild, I hope. I hope they just be like, you know what, he's seen commerce, kill him.
That's like,
he's seen what Target has to offer.
That, you know what, this kind of reminds me of, it just doesn't real well. It just made me think of it. We were talking about The Walking Dead.
Oh, thank God it's back on.
Right.
Can they kill the rest of Lori, please?
Oh, I know, right? I mean, she's the worst now. She has to come back.
She's terrible.
But we're talking about it.
I'm ready to have Rick get eaten, so she'll disappear. Right. I don't care. Eat
Say
Rick.
To Rick.
Yeah, because no one else is seeing it but Rick.
Yeah, right.
I think Glenn could be the leader.
Glenn, no, Daryl has to come back and they'll be co-captains.
I love me some Daryl. What about Merle? Do you think Merle is going to turn the corner?
Merle's going to die. He's going to die somehow. He's
such a horrible character.
Yeah.
But I feel like if he doesn't find redemption in this show, then there's no hope for anybody.
If you
can't stop being a bigot or after the apocalypse is over and he's real, like if you can't realize, you know, what's real at that point, forget it.
Yeah. But I think something is going to happen and Daryl's going to have to kill him. I think so.
I hope not. I like Daryl.
No, Daryl will have to kill Merle.
I know.
It's just going to be something. Like
that would destroy Daryl.
He'll be a stronger leader.
Glenn would do it.
Yeah.
He'll do it right now.
He doesn't care.
After he survived that torture scene and then killed that zombie with a chair, I'm like, he's the new Jason Statham.
He really was Jason Statham style. He was very badass in that.
That's who's missing from The Walking Dead.
Jason
Statham needs to walk up on the scene.
I know. Right?
And kick and punch. Yeah. He's ready for the zombie apocalypse.
And kick and punch.
Yes. Just start kicking and punching.
But somebody said to me, how come, you know, when they're driving around, they don't just run in and kill the zombies with their cars? And it's true. You don't see that very often. And I thought about it. And I was just like.
Because they'll damage the car?
Yeah, like a deer.
Yeah.
So that's what. Back to the deer.
Back, yeah. So a misdemeanor would be harboring.
A walker.
I love in the scenes where they're just doing regular stuff, like, you know, having like a two person, like a dramatic scene. They just like a walker like 50 yards off.
Yeah, I know. They're doing that a lot. They're showing walkers like, and it's like in nobody's face. They're like, I
like it.
It's there. It's not.
I'm excited. I'm glad it's back on because I know you're glad it's back on. We're both fans, but I cannot deal with Lori.
We thought she was done. Give her
another show.
Right.
Just pay her to stay home. Nobody likes that character. I'm afraid that actress is not going to work again. I don't want to see her.
She did a good job. She did an excellent job.
I do not want to see her ever again in anything.
No.
I don't want a Lifetime TV original. I don't care. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not interested.
There you go.
Yes. Sorry, lady.
You were good, but...
Yeah. A little too good. So what do you have?
So we have listener email.
Oh, awesome.
We have two.
Yay.
All right.
I love listener email.
All right. We have the first one from S.E.B.
Oh, we love us some SEB. Yeah. What she got to say?
Said, hey, first ladies.
Hey.
Because we're the first ladies of podcasting.
That's right. We're the Michelle Obama and Hillary Clinton of podcasting. Right.
The Valentine's Day podcast was all over the place funny.
Okay. It was all over the place. Oh, wait, it was funny. Thank you.
The balloons at the gas station remind me of the insurance commercial about the guy buying sushi from the gas station. That's like we talked about buying your last-minute gifts at the gas station, balloons and stuff.
I always think sushi from a gas station would be like a silverfish roll.
Yeah.
Like, just disgusting. I know.
Thanks.
With a little wasabi.
Thanks for the laughs. Happy V-Day to both of you.
Thank you. I hope you had a good Valentine's Day, too.
Yeah. We got a second one, too.
Awesome.
From Yusuf.
Yeah, and with a lovely photograph.
Yes. He says, hey, it's been a minute since the Slenderman episode.
He's still with that one. I like that one.
That was in a previous episode. It was Tales from the Campfire.
Der Grobman.
Yeah, that's the German word for a Slenderman.
Yeah, it's mispronounced by me.
Yeah, Der Grobman. It's been a minute since the Slenderman episode, but I wanted to know if the shot glass is machine washable. Listeners, we have Hey You Know It shot glasses
that
awesome.
We give out.
Yeah. And if you go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review...
Mm-hmm.
We will read it, not only read it on one of our shows, we will send you a free Hey You Know It shot glass.
Yeah, we'll read it, we'll live it, we'll act it out, we'll make it real, and we'll send you a shot glass. These shot glasses are awesome.
Yeah. So, he says, here's a pic of me and my wife and your tiny glass, LOL. It is small because it's a shot glass.
It is small. But he and his wife are adorable.
Yeah,
it's a good-looking couple.
She likes to steal affection a lot.
Oh.
Like, hey, let's send a picture of the ladies at Hey You Know It. And he's like, oh, I can't breathe because she's really hugging him hard.
Oh, so they look very cute.
They're really cute.
See, Hey You Know is bringing love to the community.
Yeah, so thanks again. So, Yusuf, I called the company that we ordered the shot glasses from because they
Katie
didn't
is
have,
very thorough.
They didn't have anything on their website saying how you can wash them.
Mm-hmm. And we're too skint to have dishwashers.
Yeah. So I spoke to a representative, and they didn't know. They did not know. So they said they would get back to us. So I called the company that makes the shot glasses, and because they didn't have any instructions on their website how to wash the glasses, mm-hmm. if they're machine washable. The representative...
For people who are fancy and have a dishwasher.
I asked her, she said, geez, I'm going to have to ask production. I'll call you back. Gave her my number. She called me back, and within like 5 minutes, by the way.
Cool.
So she got the answer. And she said, the glasses that you got were made of glass. And if they had metallic print on them, then they couldn't go in the microwave or the dishwasher. So you can put yours in the microwave and the dishwasher.
Okay.
And I said, oh, okay. So the print that we have didn't have any metallic substance within it. What?
Oh, my God.
Well, you're talking about this print. I just want to make sure that you're not saying that the print that we have on the
glass.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Doesn't have any metallic elements to it.
Yeah.
Did you order metallic print? No, it was just black print.
Yeah. No.
And all the while, she was interrupting everything that I was saying. So it was this very stop and start.
A stilted conversation. So, Ken, is it dishwasher safe?
It is. Our shot glasses are dishwasher safe and microwavable. Microwave safe.
Yeah. But I would put a caveat on that. No one has ever put them in a dishwasher before.
Right.
So if you put yours in the dishwasher, Yusuf, and this is for Yusuf and his lady only, and something happens to it, let us know.
Right. Nobody else. And we can't take any responsibility because this is all hearsay from somebody who probably makes $8 an hour.
Exactly.
So I can't even really say that this is for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's only a shot glass. So why don't you just hand wash it all the time and don't put it in the microwave because you don't need to do that.
And it's special unless you want a hot shot.
No, because then you just light it aflame.
Oh. Yusuf, come up with a recipe for a hot, hey, you know
only
what
Yusuf.
Shot.
Only Yusuf.
Yeah, only
and
Yusuf.
And be careful.
Yeah.
And again, we totally have a...
We wash our hands of this.
This is our disclaimer. Though.
Legally.
Yeah, because we don't.
This is not us. We didn't
Branders.com.
Yeah, is where the shot glass came from. Yeah. So if anything happens, contact them.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. Do you want to close out?
Yes. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Don't forget to go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show. Follow us on Tumblr and follow us on Twitter. And thanks again for listening.
Thank you. Hi, we're recording. Yeah, let's just pause it.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't had that in a while.
Yeah.
Usually, we haven't had anyone bust into the Hey You Know It studio, but these were legitimate busters in, and you'll find out about them in the next episode.
Right.
Teaser.
Bye, y'all. Bye.